Hello, welcome to the Snow Might Fall Through Archie Podcast, Not Popular, episode 240. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
Helen, we're so close. It is finally officially spring this past week, and we've still got some cold temps and everything, but...
Oh man, if we're talking about the weather...
We're starting to get that warmer weather.
Oh, it's not just starting around here. Okay, around here, this has happened four times in the past 2 weeks, where the temperatures have gotten up to a feels like 80, and then dipped down into the 30s 24 hours later. Four times in 2 weeks. I have no idea what blankets to put on my bed now. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, what do I even wear to work today so that I'm not, like, freezing or dying by the end of the workday? It's very annoying. I just want some consistency. The lion and the lamb are fighting.
I think it was earlier this week. I think I walked out the house. It was like 50-something. But I knew it was going to be 70 later on. So I said, okay, I better not wear, like, anything heavy or anything like that. And, of course, I leave out later for lunch. It's like in the 60s or almost 70s. So, excuse me. So, of course, just go out with my hoodie. So, yeah, it's the weather will get itself fixed up eventually. And I can finally start walking again. I mean, granted, I could still walk and maybe go to the gym, even in cold weather, but I'm weak and don't like the cold.
Yeah, see, for me, walking in cold weather is fine. Like, my general rule of thumb is I do not like going outside when it's 20 degrees or lower, but I'll do it. I refuse to go outside once it gets below negative 20. But that's a real dang uncommon occurrence around here. For me, it's the other end of the spectrum. I've decided that if we hit a heat index of 100 or more, that's when I don't go for a walk. Otherwise, I'm walking up to that. Because I just like my walkies, Justin. I like my walkies after a long day of work.
Understood. Yeah. I'll get to walking one of these days. Hopefully this week, actually. That'd be great. For my health and all that good stuff. So yes, we've been up to some stuff over the past 2 weeks, right? Totally been up to a whole bunch of things that have caught our interest and all that good stuff, right?
I mean, I've been doing stuff, but it hasn't been anything new. I've just been watching the same stuff I have been, etc., etc.
So funny enough for me, a couple anime, some one anime ended early. Like Shibuyugi, for example, ended a couple weeks ago.
So we had like was it a couple weeks ago? Because I could have sworn I saw people posting about it last week.
It was a couple weeks ago, where it just ended a little earlier than the usual. Yeah, certain shows ended early, but some shows ended early. So it's like, all right. I think I have no time to like kind of get to my backlog. So I would just kind of get like my big manga backlog of digital stuff. Really, I haven't taken my print stuff yet. So we're going through all that this past week and a half, really. But the one I want to talk about today is Mizuno Suno's "You Can't Live All on Your Own," which is funny because I read the first volume. I want to say sometime last year, but I really don't remember if it was either last year or early this year. But I read the first volume sometime. At some point, then fell off a bit for no reason. Maybe just got distracted by other stuff. But I recently read the volumes 2 and 3 recently, and I liked it a lot. I bought it digitally. I'm probably going to try to pick up and print. It's only 3 volumes. It's a very simple manga about four friends. They're all living together. They're just like, they obviously enjoy each other's company, but they also have normal troubles as adults really do. Also relationship potential issues. These ladies, they have their own enjoyments and everything, but it gets into the heart of what love really is and what it means to get being in a relationship with someone. Like, is it like you go into, oh, I'm gonna marry this person, I definitely love them, but do I love them like that? So you get four different perspectives, really. But it kind of comes all to a head when you realize that, wait, we enjoy living with each other together, but that we might have to potentially, like, move out and not be with each other anymore. So it gets to the whole friendship aspect and, I guess, the growing or what happens when you need to move on with your future, I guess. So I had a good time with it. Again, I'm probably gonna try to pick up the print volumes first. I have not actually picked up any print volumes of Tokyopop titles, period. I didn't think I would, but I think I will for this one. I can't believe it. Tokyopop title, I'm actually gonna pick one up in print. Well, it's still out there. I guess this series came out a while ago. Better still be out being print. But yeah, that's my take. I recommend, if you're looking for like a, I think this is a Jose, or I should check, but I think it's a Jose series. Definitely was a very good read. Definitely worth your time, either digitally or print.
Yeah, like I said, I've just been watching the same things, reading the same things, so I don't actually have anything new to talk about this week. We are going to be talking about our winter anime next episode, however, so I'll have stuff to talk about then. So now, we will move on to the news. There's a decent amount of news, and there's what I think are a lot of licenses this time, but Justin is disagreeing with me. So, I know that we've been talking about Crunchyroll and restructuring, layoffs, etc. quite a bit recently. We have more on that front. Anime News Network has confirmed the reporting from Screen Rant that Crunchyroll has recently laid off a number of employees. Roughly an eighth to a seventh of the total staff Crunchyroll had. They were roughly an eighth to a seventh of the size of the amount of staff Crunchyroll laid off last August. That is a very weird way to look at these numbers, but they laid off a decent number of people, it sounds like, from anything. I feel like I saw some numbers out there, but I didn't see them verified. Anyway, as far as any of us can tell, the company's restructuring is also due to a shift in its e-commerce strategy, not due to cost-cutting measures. I don't know. Between that and the fact that we know that they are losing the lease on the old Right Stuff warehouse, and that they've been having an ongoing sale on their website for a while now, like they're trying to clear out stuff. If you're trying to clear out stuff, give me a better discount than like only 30%, though, you stingy bastards. But it does sound like Crunchyroll is starting to move away from actually physically selling things, which is frustrating.
They go back to the roots. Helen, they go back to the roots. They go back to streaming only.
I mean, if we're going back to their roots, we're going back to being pirates. So, this was something all of us feared when Sony acquired Right Stuff a couple of years ago, that they might just catch and kill it. Although it sounds like that might not have actually been the intention here, but that, I don't know, it definitely feels like they had a plan for increasing their e-commerce and that the plan never worked. Don't know what the plan was, but it doesn't feel like this was always the intent. So, as I've said before, I have many questions for Sony. I'm not a fan of the fact that fewer and fewer things are probably going to be getting physical releases now if Crunchyroll is the licensor and choosing not to do physical releases of things. I know that my purchases of like manga have dramatically fallen off in the years since Right Stuff's been gone, just since they don't have as good sales as they used to. The Right Stuff sales were like 33-35% off, but the Crunchyroll sales are like 20% off, and it's like, that's nothing. So, unsurprised that Crunchyroll is being like, we need to get rid of people because we're not selling things, because I sure am not buying from them very often.
Yeah, like once Crunchyroll decided to kill off Right Stuff, I basically said, yeah, unless they have like anything exclusive, like they're still like the Liquorous Recoil Blu-rays only on their service or the store, I should say, or they have like a good sale, which is, as you mentioned, not very rare or good to have all the time. I haven't really been buying from them. I've just been either going to like little Kindle Kaneer myself, or just buying from like Books a Million or something like that, or Barnes and Noble. There's just no point in you had a good thing going. It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or don't fix it. Or I think that's
if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yep, there you go. I don't know why I'm blanking on that, but yes, basically that. And they decided they want to break it, so no point in dealing with any of that. So I am one of those people who doesn't buy, so I guess I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who said not buying from the Crunchy store anymore. So they see this number, and they also, in general, don't want to actually handle home media. You brought up the point that Crunchyroll themselves doesn't publish too much, like home media in general. And yeah, they've been on a streak where I think they didn't have a catalog for May. They kind of just had a, they finally just announced something for June. It's really just a few anime they're going to put on home media. So I'm just like, is July going to be kind of big? We'll find out in April. Because there's still a lot of stuff they have the rights for that they just are not releasing home media. I know they still have some Funimation carryovers, so it's just like, what's happening here? But as you mentioned, it's clear that they're trying to downsize in many ways. And what plan it was, maybe it involves some people that are no longer in that position anymore. So
it did sound like a couple of the people who were laid off based off of posts on LinkedIn had been hired within the past year-ish. As well, so again, to me, that makes it sound like this wasn't a long-term strategy, but kind of more of a strategy.
Yeah, just bad. And I'm sure more news will be happening because Crunchyroll is still just the known streamer, especially in anime, and it will be the case. This will be the case moving forward. No matter what random things they get involved in. Did I just say whatever random things they get involved in? Yes. They had to respond to a query regarding whether or not they had their system compromised after the... make sure I get this correct. The International Cyber Digest account. They had recently reported that... there was obviously a breach in the Crunchyroll system, and then they had noted that the culprit stole 100 gigabytes of customer analytics data. This includes identifying information such as IP addresses, email addresses, credit card details, etc., etc. This breach apparently happened March 12th. ANN reached out to Crunchyroll once this broke, and they responded that there are various claims and they are currently working closely with leading cybersecurity experts to investigate the matter. There was a later update with another spokesman that then stated that the investigation would go in, and at this time, they believe that the information is primarily limited to customer service ticket data following an incident with a third-party vendor. That third-party, by the way, is TELUS in India. So I guess the first thing is, yeah, it's not good if it actually turns out to be like obviously legit and everything, and it sounds like based on some of the details that this happened, it sounds like it also happened during customer support. And I think the question is, some things you should not be sharing through customer support. I think that's one thing. Little puzzled about what these users were doing. But I guess that's obviously the other thing. What happened was after that, there was some skepticism, or at least from Miles. He used to obviously work for Crunchyroll, but now he's just kind of like in the PR media space a little bit. He kind of questioned just why, how the International Cyber Digest just kind of framed it, considering it seems like it's just coming from one source. And I kind of understand where Miles is going from, considering that, yes, Crunchyroll can get these type of threats all the time. And based on the fact that this is only relying on one source, you usually want to have multiple sources. And I guess one really old example that made me think about just how it helps to have multiple sources for when you're doing a story. Mm-hmm. Eons ago, we had this story with the Xbox One, and they had like a huge like thing about how ownership and stuff like that. And I remember this clearly because Patrick Klepek, he used to work for this company called Giant Bomb. He reported that they were going to basically reverse the process, or they were going to reverse the policies regarding Xbox One. He was the only one who reported at the time, but he also noted that he had to like ferret it out. He had to like talk to multiple sources, people that did not know each other, just to make sure that yes, this is actually happening, this is legit. And it obviously again came out later that yes, this is true. There was reversing the Xbox One policies. So the fact is, it looks like Cyber Digest is just relying on this one source. There were eventually, like, later on, during Miles' conversation on Twitter, and not as hell of that let me know. He didn't, I guess, share the news on Blue Sky.
Yeah, he's got a Blue Sky account. He seems to forget to use it, so I took a screenshot of his Twitter post and shared it on there with attribution, and then people were like, oh yeah, looking at this.
I don't know if International Cyber Digest is on Blue Sky. Oh, that's why he didn't talk about it there, because he just quote tweeted it.
I mean, you could still take a screenshot and put, you know, with like alt text, you know, to do that, because clearly that's what I did with him, you know, just.
I don't think it was just thinking about doing that. It was just like, okay, I'm on Twitter. I'm just going to just quote tweet this and get my concerns about why this was shared and how can, considering like, you now just got.
I just want to know why he's still on Twitter most of the time. Like that is my question for a lot of you guys. Like, why are y'all still on, you know, the one with the child pornography creating chatbot?
And the considering the how it's just Twitter just keeps falling apart. I can't even really, I can barely search on the actual website anymore. It's just really hard to do.
Yeah, so why are you still on Twitter, Justin? I keep telling you, there's Fire Emblem Three Houses art on Blue Sky.
Not enough. Clearly not enough. And it actually is funny you bring it up.
There's stuff on Instagram.
I found that there's still people in Japan that still use Twitter.
Yeah, there's still people from every country who still use Twitter. Like, I'm pretty sure there's still people from every country who use MySpace. That is not an argument.
But the main point is, for Miles and Cyber, they did went back and forth about that. Some people did collaborate that this is how Cyber Digest works, but I think it just comes down to how do we want to perceive the news. Like, it's just obviously a mentality thing.
I mean, I did see some other people posting, like, is this a serious account? And it was another tweet from that account that said, we asked the hacker what his name is, and he didn't have a hacker name. And after a second, he thought and said raccoon, because I like raccoons. And I was like, yeah, this doesn't feel like a serious account, you know? This doesn't feel like serious reporting.
Depends if it's a dummy account or whatever. But it also, again, it does depend on how often we follow these type of cybersecurity news and everything like that. But yes, there's as Miles noted before, he eventually had to delete the tweet because it was getting misrepresented at the time he had it up.
Oh man, he still doesn't realize that Crunchyroll, I put it on Blue Sky then, because I even like tagged him in it and everything.
Crunchyroll, if they don't report these type of data user issues or stuff like that, or his breaches, I should say, they get fined for this. So clear is the case of was it serious enough that they had to pay these fines, and we still haven't really like heard official statement from Crunchyroll themselves. Like,
wait, so what do you mean that if they get hacked, they have to pay a fine? Like, who is charging these fines?
I don't know, but I guess it's some sort of.
Wait, so who was saying this then? Who was saying you have to?
No, Miles had brought up that because of just. If it's a data breach, like you know how Netflix or someone has a post like this happened and stuff like that. Miles' original tweet, and I think even if you still have it up, he had mentioned something about Crunchyroll getting like fined about that.
I mean, that's if they violate something. Like, hang on, I'm gonna try to bring up.
Yeah, bring it up. I think he mentioned something about that.
I mean, there's settlements, but that is an entirely separate thing. Okay, so. The screenshot I took, and he might have posted others in response, but the one I said was, I'm so sick of fake news. There's a reason we haven't seen any credible outlets cover this yet. If Cyber International Digest was credible, they would have said alleged, because it's unlikely they'd be able to verify the data was both, one, legitimate, and two, specifically from Crunchyroll. If this is true, then Crunchyroll will be sacrificing huge sums every day they don't communicate it with their customers. The threat actor here claims to have reached out to Crunchyroll 10 days ago. Considering how massive the fines are for not reporting it. Okay, yeah, so. The tweet goes on. The most likely scenario is that CR did not have reason to believe the threat actor. I have zero reason to trust this outlet, and so do you. It may turn out to be real, but there's not a strong reason to think it is in this moment at time. Oh man, I just realized that Miles is even paying for Twitter, since he's got the check mark and like these extra long tweets. Why are you paying for the site with the child pornography generating chatbot?
You know what's funny? I feel like I saw somebody say, no, sometimes Twitter will actually pay it for you. But he probably did pay for it. I have no idea how it had to happen, but
yeah, I'm confused. I'm not worried about that. Who are we paying these fines to?
Yeah, that's.
I'm gonna have to look this up after the podcast. We don't have time for that, but
But yeah, the point is, we'll find out soon enough how serious this whole thing is, or if it's not actually serious, and it was just like, oh no, it's just more bizarre misinformation that got posted or stuff like that. But I think it's clear there more information came out after Miles challenged CyberNet just about that, so it seems like something did happen. And again, some of the statements from Crunchyroll kind of collaborate on that a little bit. But it does come down to whether it's an actual like breach, where that's going to require lots of people to change their username and passwords and everything. So we'll get more information, I assume, in the coming weeks, maybe months, maybe weeks. I think more weeks than months. I think this should be something that we'll be hearing soon enough, I think.
All right, sorry, responding to something else. Okay, so I know we mentioned one or two episodes back about a concert. I think it might have been tied to Aikatsu or Prepara getting canceled, and we noted that was kind of unusual due to threats made against the performers or venue. But it has happened again. Japan Airlines announced that it canceled its March 28th special event at Kyoto Station after receiving an email message threatening to disrupt the event. The event would have promoted a campaign tied to the Love Live! Nijigasaki Gakuen School Idol Dokokai Kaketsu and Dai 2 Show film. Jesus Christ, can't we get a translation on that? As a result of multiple discussions with the organizers involved and the local police, the airlines decided to cancel the event to prioritize the safety of the attendees. So I don't like that trend of people saying that they're going to disrupt events, by which I assume they mean try to kill and or maim as many people as possible. Yeah. Don't like that. People stop doing that. Stop. Great. Just really stop great. It with the violent urges.
I would have to put together a list. I feel like we've, even before the Prepara thing, I think we've had certain things happen where I think it was supposed to be an online festival. I'm not sure if it was Denki Bunko or something like that last year. Was some sort of company that was going to plan a festival or something or event, but they had to cancel it due to threats and they had to move it to online. So yes, these it's getting annoying and it's really, really sad because these are things you just want to have to, you're trying to like obviously promote your work and have the fans show out in public and everything, but these type of threats are unacceptable. It's not good. And Helen, we're probably going to get more if this keeps continuing, because if the police are thinking it's serious enough that they have to just cancel it, then it's getting bad. It's getting really bad.
Fire people.
All right. So we're going to move on to a couple of hiatuses. So we have the Detective Conan, the Cobra Hanzawa manga, which is going on hiatus. No really stated reason. It's just that the Shogakukan Shonen Sunday S magazine asked readers to look forward to the manga's return. Don't know when it's returning, but it's going to come back at some point, I guess. But it's just not hiatus for some reason. And meanwhile, we do get a hiatus for Koji Kumeta. His series is going on hiatus. Actually, I want to make sure I get the series is working on right now correct. It is, yep, Shiba and Your Family. So it's supposed to be a new chapter. There was no new chapter because unfortunately he suffered a finger injury. Instead of I guess the new chapter, he instead left a long and humorous apology note saying that he injured his middle finger deeply while handling a T-bow and immediately had to rush to the hospital to have it treated and stitch up. He later expressed eternal doubt and confidence whether he can hold a pen or draw a straight line, but settled on not drawing. He then added, "Readers will probably be all right with subpar drawings from him, but it will not sit right with him." He then commented that doing so would wound his heart, which would last his whole life, unlike a wound to his finger. So there's a couple more other notes about suggesting what he would do instead if it continued. But for now, the series is going to be on hiatus for a bit. So we'll obviously hope he heals up and is able to draw to his standards.
So On the resuming side, Megumu Okada's Saint Seiya Episode G Requiem manga resumed after a 3-month hiatus with its 71st chapter. Manga had been on hiatus since December with no reason given. And Naoki Urasawa's Asadora manga also returned after an 8-month hiatus. That one went on hiatus back in July.
So last episode we talked about one magazine ending, and now we're gonna have another magazine, manga magazine in Japan that's also gonna end. So the April issue of Kadokawa's comic Alona magazine announced that the magazine ceased publication, and that this April issue was the magazine's last issue. So we have some of the manga that was in it that's gonna move to Comic Alona sister magazine, Comic Flapper, or it's gonna go to Kadokawa's Kadokomi site. Unlike, I think, what was it, Web? I wish I could have, I should have remembered the Mad Garden magazine, but unlike that one, this one I don't think was as long. I think it was kind of new. Comic Luna was launched in July 2022 as a spin-off from Comic Flapper. So yeah, the shelf life for this was not very long, but I guess it's still sad all the same that it's not gonna keep going. So unfortunate all around.
And then in obituaries, the official site formerly known as Twitter account for the band The Pillows announced that the band's drummer Shinichi Sato had died on March 23rd due to esophageal cancer. Dude, we have an age for them.
It was not listed.
Yeah, so we don't have their age, but they were a founding member of the band and were with the band for 35 years, so we can imagine they were in at least their 50s. But yeah, that's a shame. I've heard that esophageal cancer is not a good one to get. And also, the editorial staff of Kodansha's weekly shonen magazine announced that the manga creator Majirō Kanami died in February. Kanami had been in the middle of working on the draft of the 14th chapter of the Doko o Kurabe Sakura Made manga, and the family held a private funeral. Justin has a note in here. Important to note, it's not clear if he literally died while working on the manga or just in the time frame when he would have been working on the 14th chapter.
Yeah, it wasn't very clear.
This is an important distinction to make.
Because they didn't specify, and I was like, did he really like the authors die while working literally on this series?
It's possible, but we don't know if that was the case.
Yeah, and again, it didn't also reveal how the creator passed. So obviously, they, I guess, would respect the privacy of the situation, but. I can't. Yeah, it's really like, obviously just not. It was clearly sudden for this to happen. So, just a really tough loss. Really, like, you just wonder about just these type of schedules for these for the manga artists and everything. Like, what's going on here? Like, just really, really bad.
And then, speaking of mangaka passing, publisher Chikuma Shoho announced that the manga creator Yoshihara Suge died of aspiration pneumonia on March 3rd at the age of 88. He was one of the pioneers of the Gekiga genre, I guess is the best way to phrase it. Genre, alternate form of manga. So, someone who had a long career, even if that's not a pleasant way to go either, if I am
Definitely
understanding this
not.
correctly. A little
Yeah,
surprised that
definitely
they
not yet.
even mentioned that, but hey, we go from saying we don't know how they died to we're kind of sad we
Right,
know how they
right.
died, so
Yeah, right. Well, I think, well, obviously,
damned if
death,
you do,
no
damned
matter
if you
how it
don't.
goes, yep, death, no matter how it comes, it's so sad all the same. Obviously, Yoshiharu Suge has had a couple of works published, I think it's more drawn in quarterly than Fantagraphics. Obviously, we had a couple of his works published over here in the U.S. over the past couple of years now. I want to say a decade now, but we've obviously had a good amount of it. So we, and he still has more works coming over here too. So yeah, it's a really tough loss. We're just starting to get his works, or we've been getting his works, I should say, over here. So for those who are looking for a more alternative form of comics, it's coming, and it's been here, and we still have more. But it's obviously a tough loss, a really difficult loss in many ways. So my sister's condolences to his family and friends, for sure. Even though, again, lived a long life, and obviously hopefully experienced or had a really great life as long as he did. Okay. Gonna transition over to the licenses that's happened over the past few weeks. Again, Helen says it's long, and I'm just like, I guess? But I feel like we just had longer. Maybe I'm just too used to just seeing licenses and posting all the time. It's like, okay, this is... Okay, whatever. It is what it is. But first of all, for some reason, Titan Manga were ham on exclusive licenses this week. They had the following announcement on ANN.
I once again maintain that they simply do not know how to send out press releases to everybody else.
Flip-flopped Darwin's Game in a stunning twist. I feel like I've heard about this series forever, and it was like never brought over here. I'm just like, we've had so many other anime got that had adapted it that had their original source brought over, not Darwin's Game, and now finally it's getting brought over. Even though I never actually watched, or I just at least heard of it. So,
and the anime was apparently in 2020.
Yeah, it was old. Yeah, well, relatively old, I guess.
Yeah, so the manga ran from 2012 to 2023, and the anime was in 2020. So, yeah, a bit of an odd time to get a pickup.
Mm-hmm. Arata Yamaji's Ignaro, the Star-Eating Killer. Shin Kazuki's Even After Dojo Summer was Reincarnated, She Remained a Villainess. Kamatama's Nova, Little Girl in the Monster Forest. Zeno's Resident Evil Death Island. Toka Amakawa, Kuroyuki, and Nai Serizawa's The Legendary Witch is Reborn as a Repressed Princess. Have to clarify, this is the manga, not the light novel, because J Novel Club is publishing the light novel. Watano's After School Invaders. Tokawa Yonan's Black Witch Mirror. Tatsuya Tobi Taka's Ifrit of the Sea Sand. And Dasuo Izanami's The Obsession of Red Riding Hood.
Then Seven Seas had their first Wonderful Wednesday series of announcements post-acquisition by Media Do? I don't know how you pronounce it. Anyway, so they have announced that they've licensed Nemui Asada's I Say, Kazumi Takayama and Tai's Trapezium, which is a light novel, so that will be under their Airship line. Sun Suzuki, Shiba no Bancha, Yu Yagami, and Sumi Hayes, the One-Eyed, One-Armed, One-Legged Sorcerer. Betty Tamamura's Your Meteor, Hidden in Flowers. Atsushi Suga's A Quirky Girl Inviting Me to Bed. Unsurprisingly, that is a ghost ship title. And Tato Masuda Mikuo's Legend of the Accidental Sword Saint, playing the mentor from the sidelines, which is going to be a digital-only title, and it is a novel, so it's under the Airship line. They also announced there will be another audiobook coming to their Siren imprint in April. Haka Tokura's Magical Buffs, The Support Caster is Stronger Than You Realized, which will be narrated by Josh Hurley. Isn't that one getting an anime in the spring?
It just got it. No, this just got announced. Magical Buffs just got announced.
Okay.
Next year.
There must be some other, like, support character getting an anime soon. Just so many of these ideas are a little repetitive that it's a little hard to remember which is which.
It's always funny when we get these type of isekai or these type of similar type of fantasy novels or light novels, I should say, and they get added to the anime. It's like, wait, I know this premise like before. I've heard this like every year. Why are you familiar to me? The only other thing I'm just gonna add is the fact that yes, you question like, A Quirky Girl is Inviting Me to Bed. Yes, it sure sounds like a ghost ship title. Yeah, you look at the cover and like, yeah, it's definitely a ghost ship title. And then, oh yeah, it got banned from actually appearing on Blue Sky. What a dummy. Why did I use this cover to put that on there? What was I thinking? Yeah, that reminded me of that was a ghost ship title. Good job, me. Good job. So we talked about this new publisher last year in Mahjong Pros.
Which, yes, is a Mahjong,
yes.
I wouldn't say publisher, but a Mahjong company who've decided we're going to license manga.
Yes, but at the time we only knew that he was going to bring over Hideki Ohwara's Wii Forward with Ways to Draw, The Legend of Koizumi. I think there was a little, it was kind of radio silence since their announcement last year. We knew, I think, they was going to plan on launching really in 2026, so it's just a case of just wait and see. Yeah, we're no more waiting. They're here. They're stuff hi They're not hiding anymore. They're ready to get their works out here. So they are gonna also bring over Yoshiki Tsuda and Mio Junta's Crybaby Mermaid, illustrated Memora Yumi Otani, Bingo Morihashi and Drill Jill's Getter Robo High, Ayato Sasakura's Remember Stella, illustrated Memora Arisa Date. I guess two things. I wanted to start just like right now. I guess all these have, first of all, I guess all these subs don't do the Mahjong, even though like Getter Robo High, does
I
that
don't.
really have something to do with Mahjong?
Not as far as I know, but I could be wrong.
What Mahjong related thing is here? What's happening here? And then funny enough, the other one, I didn't even clock this, but I think we have for Bingo Murahashi, I think we have one series out, maybe. Or is I getting gonna start with something else? No, or is it somebody different? Alien books. I think, don't they? Is it them? Yeah, Kingyo Rock. Let's go. I knew it. I was like, why did this author sound familiar? And there you go. That's the creator of Kingyo Rock, which is published by Alien Books. So yeah, I guess I was wondering, like, aside from the Getter Robo part, I was like, okay, I guess they have another author. You usually have the synergy of, like, oh, you have an author, already established author, that's coming out. So that's how you bring it out. So these are, I think, coming out digitally starting next month. Not all of these. I think some of these are coming out digitally next month, and I think they're gonna be coming out in print sometime in the summer. I could be wrong on all. Almost all of this. I just know some are coming early digital, and I'm gonna have print later for a couple of these.
So Yen Press had some announcements ahead of SakuraCon, which will be happening later this week. Usually they have a panel at SakuraCon, so I wonder if they're going to have any more announcements there.
They said they're gonna have more announcements at SakuraCon.
All right, so Justin knows more are coming, but for the moment, what we have in front of us are licenses of Soichi Taguchi and Sugara Mikai's 3 Days of Happiness manga. They are already publishing the novel. Mitsubachi Miyuki's I'm Just in a Faux BL. That's what you think. Suzaku Morino's Servant Beast. Watamuro's I'm Home, Pardoning the Intrusion, which I believe is the one that has an anime coming out in a few weeks. Ayuni Arage's Miss Ishiki Wants to Know About Love. Kazune Yamamoto's What Six Survivors Told. Gen Momoji's Let's Go Nirvana. Satoru Konosu's Thus Spoke the Rabbit. Kazuaki Kurihara and Akane Tarai's The Succubus Meets Her Match. Yukari Amatsu's Mage of Rita manga. Takemachi, Sui Kanami, and Tomari's Spy Classroom 4th Period Blazing Fire. Numa Egaki's How to Handle My Sassy Big Sis manga. Ballad Kitagune, Genshou Yasuda, and Yume's Aikashi a la Mode, which is a light novel, so that will be under the Yen On imprint. Itsuki Yomukai, Scotty, and Barikikos, Why Run? My Summon Beast is Cute. Again, light novel, so under the Yen On imprint. And finally, they are going to have an omnibus edition of Yoshika Tonagai's Judge manga.
Tokyo Pop finally, question mark. Apparently allows to license before it went up on retailers. Like I'm just so used to just like on Twitter, like every time I would just look on Twitter and just see like these I'll just see a Twitter user just po see, oh, look at the retailer site. Oh, look at Tokyo Pop published. Look at their license. Look at that. And why don't they announce their stuff? What's wrong with them? But I didn't see it this time because so it looked like Tokyo Pop decided they want to get ahead of themselves for the first time ever, maybe. Think. So here it is. So he licensed Lemon Fujikura's My One-Sided Love, Hinako Yugumo's If I Can Write My Love Into You, Kisa Inami's Blue Spring in Your Eyes, Jiro Onishi's How to Befriend a Demon, Kana's I'll Look at Future Together, Hana Ikuta's The Shadow and the Flower, Toaru Miyata's Aharu Once More, Koji Setsu's Imoto Inamoto is no angel. Toto Suri's Spicy Milk Candy, and also another work from the creator, Good Hair and Bad Habits. Senno Yanase's The Lion Dances with a Loved One, and Jiro Riku's Caught in Your Web.
And there are still even more announcements to go here. Crossed Hearts announced that they will be bringing over Mei Fujimatsu and Satsuki Haru's Afternoon Tea for Two manga. And this will be the third license in its new Glam Beat imprint, which is Yuri. And Abrams Kana announced that they've licensed Makiburo, Nazuma Shiranume, and Mai Murasaki's Within the Villainous manga, with Volume 1 scheduled for a July 2027 release. I'm excited about that one. I know someone else picked up the light novel recently. There's an anime announcement. I think someone did. I know there's an anime announcement, but I'd been hoping for the manga since the manga has art which goes unnecessarily hard, and I love that.
I didn't hear about the light novel, but that's interesting. Curious who picked that one up.
Think so? I'm going to double check this while you talk about the next one.
All right, then the other thing. You know, I was just going to add the July 2027 release. Like, I'm thinking Seven Seas had like some sort of title that they announced is going to come in July, like in summer or July of 2027. Like, what else is so far out? And then all of a sudden, Within the Villainous come out in July 2027 next year. Like, wow, we were just really, we're just delaying a whole bunch of stuff. Jeez, crazy. The publishing situation must be crazy out there. But yes, to kind of wrap up the section, we have Manga Plus. They've added Kanemaki's The Heroes Bereaved Family. I think it's all seven chapters, so that's now on the service. And more, just like a deep dive. So yes, the only kind of anime news we got for this particular licensing section. So we got the whole Media OCD disc, the deep dives again, long list, so I'm not gonna list all of them, but they're gonna have Kadocha, the Card Captor Sakura movies, and a bunch of Sucker Frog among the list of stuff that's you could try to get on the service now, or thing, especially if you missed out with it being out of stock on like Crunchyroll and stuff like that. Go to Media OCD.
Okay, yeah, I cannot find any what I thought I'd read before about the light novel getting licensed, so I guess I was just confusing that with an anime announcement. Oops. Oh well.
Oh well.
Alright, so streaming news time. I'm gonna let Justin handle this other one. because you're the one who has like done a deep dive into you were sending me messages this morning about why does Weekly Shonen Jump hate Crunchyroll, so I'm gonna let you handle that one.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna do it now or
yeah, you can do it now. Then I can try to talk about what the fuck is going on with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Okay, yeah, you have fun with JoJo's. I have fun with whatever this nonsense between Weekly Shonen Jump and Crunchyroll is. Okay, granted, it could also be the other way around. I doubt it, but there has been a interesting thing that I've noticed, funny enough, over the past couple years with Weekly Shonen Jump and Crunchyroll, especially like most titles not going to Crunchyroll exclusively, or in this case, we have a couple titles just like going elsewhere or at least being shared. And it's going to happen with Akane Banashi, where the global streaming platforms and details were revealed recently during their live stream. And so the press, here's the thing, it's going to be premiering April 4th on YouTube, and in certain locations around certain countries. I did not list all of it, but you have to look at the link that explains where it's going to be streaming each territory. But for my purposes, for US purposes, it's going to be on YouTube at the start, or it will be YouTube at the start for, I assume, the whole series. But then in May, it's going to get sub and dubbed on Netflix. I saw some people wonder about the dub situation, whether it's going to be English dub and everything, but we have no confirmation it's going to be English dub yet. So I'm not saying like it won't. I'm just saying we should be a little, we just got to wait. We got to wait until they actually confirm what it's getting dubbed, if it's getting like English dub or not. It could be dubbed like other languages before it gets dubbed, so we have to wait. But yeah, this is still like we have a Weekly Shonen Jump title that's not going like any of the major streaming services immediately. Obviously the streaming service game has just been kind of fragmented in certain ways, and in some ways it's just kind of bizarre. But I think kind of one of the strangest things I think I've noticed recently is the whole Weekly Shonen Jump, I mean, specifically Weekly Shonen Jump, For example, we have the U and I polar opposites. That's on the I think Jump Plus for Shueisha. So it's not just a Shueisha thing. It's clearly some sort of rights thing. I don't know if it's obviously. I claim as hate, but it could be just a simple thing as rights, especially considering when Crunchyroll and Sony had their big thing and merger and everything. But it seems specifically since that happened, very few Shonen Jump specific titles have gone to Crunchyroll. So the list as follows: Mission: Just a Girl Family went to Hulu Disney, Undead Unluck Hulu Disney, Sakamoto Days Netflix, the new Shaman King that reboot that happened went to Netflix, Witch Watch. It is on Crunchyroll, but it's also on Hulu and Netflix. We had Blue Box, Netflix, the Bastard. That was, I think Netflix put in for that, so we can go Netflix. Really wanted that. Sandland, Hell Teacher Nubei reboot. That went to Remnow. Okay, Sandland went to Hulu Disney. The reboot for or new anime version of Hulu of Hell's Teacher Nubei went to Remnow. The Castle reboot, new thing, whatever, went to Hulu Disney. There was that golf. I didn't put this on the screen. I just thought about it now. This is golf anime done
Tombow?
by the creator of. No, but it was done by the creator of Seven Deadly Sins. He used to have a series on Shonen Jump. It got canceled on Shonen Jump, and then it got brought back. That went to Netflix, but then I think Netflix might have just put in for that, so who knows about that. But then you have also High School Kenigami. That's on Prime. So now it's like, where's Kill Blue and Siren, which is coming later in 20, I think it's gonna premiere the fall season. Where are those two gonna go? We're gonna find out for Kill Blue really soon. But the only exceptions to this has been Me and Robico, but that didn't get simulcasted. And
And
then
that one was a short
Genpachi,
as well.
yeah, and also a short. And then Gintama is Mr. Genpachi's Zany Class. That also streamed on Crunchyroll, but two things. It also streamed on that Web3 Azuki crypto whatever service. But then also it's
The
also
bad
part of
bean.
that what it's also part of that established hierarchy. Like you already had a system Crunchyroll, you're gonna just be on Miyake there. Like Bleach was on the oh wait. No, Bleach actually I just realized Bleach is not on there. I thought about that. I'm like, wait, hold up, Bleach used to be on Crunchyroll. Well, I'm actually is it still on Crunchyroll? I have no idea.
It probably
But
used to
then
be at
it
some point, but
But you're right, I just thought about that. But I know Gintama's still on there. Now I'm not. Now I have doubts. I should have checked. I have doubts now. Oh no.
this is what Justin is doing instead of like reading his physical manga, folks.
But then obviously a Jujutsu Kaisen. But then that was established before this. So yes. There's a clear pattern here. Just what is happening here? And it's really. It feels
You
like
say
just
there's
a
a
merge
clear
is kind of
pattern here.
happening.
I'm not sure what the pattern is, Justin.
Well, look. I know we've had like now obviously more streaming systems emerge since before Crunch like before a merger happened. So obviously Netflix wants to be a player, and then Amazon now is getting into anything and stuff like that. So, and I guess Disney Hulu, that's another thing. So before the merger, obviously things were different, but a lot. Let me repeat: very few things went over to any other service aside from Crunchyroll. Like the only ones that did was the shoot the Disastrous Life of Saki K that went to Netflix. I think Funimation actually, it may have been Funimation first because I think they did release that at one point, but then it went eventually to Netflix. But again, most things went to from really strange with the Crunchyroll, but all of a sudden it just feels like there is something either with contract related or license related that is preventing most Shonen Jump stuff to go over to Crunchyroll. The only time it doesn't work, aside from what I mentioned earlier, was stuff for Aniplex. So yes, it's very bizarre. It's just something that's really interesting to me. And for Akane Banashi, for a week of Shonen Jump to only relate to YouTube, I mean, we're in a different age, but I don't think YouTube's kind of that reliable to rely on for putting anime on the service. Just not. I'm very curious if this is gonna work out the way TBS Asahi is gonna the producers of this is handling this, but it's a little stunning to me. I don't know. It just feels like this is about a service, and I guess technically will be on Netflix a month from now, but I don't know how it is. Something's up. Something's weird. I don't know.
Okay,
That's all I got.
something's weird also definitely describes whatever the heck is going on with JoJo's right now. So, I don't know about your circles, Justin, but in my circles, people were very excited for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 7, Steel Ball Run, getting an anime. The first episode dropped on Netflix on March 19th. People were like, yeah, let's watch this. Yeah, it was great. Okay, when's more coming? Since Netflix hadn't said before if this was going to be like a weekly release or a batch release. We haven't even gotten to that part yet. Apparently, we don't even know when episode 2 was coming out yet. So this is also weird news. There's an interview going around with like the director of the series saying, "We don't know when the next episode's coming out. Netflix needs to tell us." So there's been a teaser trailer revealed that the second stage will come out in 2026. We are currently in the year 2026. This does not narrow it down a lot. I'm hearing rumors of September. They're also saying the second stage is what's coming in 2026. And from my friends who have read the manga, you could drop things, in installments, based off of what stage of the race they're in for a little bit, but that's not really going to work for later parts of this part of the manga. So, yeah, we really don't know what's happening with this one. This is especially weird. It's not quite as weird as Fate Strange Fake's release schedule over the past couple of years, but yeah, it's like we're back to the bad old days of Netflix simply not telling people what it's doing when you can watch the thing that it's advertising. It's very bizarre.
Good job, Helen. Good job.
Did you hear about that Grand Prix that's supposed to be raced in DC in August?
No.
Okay, so for some reason, they're having some sort of like st race on the streets of DC in August to celebrate the 250th, like around the National Mall. And when I was sharing this with friends, a friend went, "Damn, I can't believe we're getting like bootleg Steel Ball Run this year." And I feel like, that's we're pro we might even be getting that before we get more JoJo's episodes.
Okay, first of all, we'll add, yes, there has been a discussion about this on Twitter. The most prominent happened today, or maybe I think actually yesterday. What was it? Okay, either yesterday or today, but I think mostly to. No, it's probably yesterday. We had the French translator of the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Steel Ball Run manga actually telling Netflix this is not good. You probably should probably release whatever you have soon. You have a plan. At least explain yourselves. So that's one thing. But then, unfortunately, the other thing is because of just bizarreness of how JoJo's been released. You think about what the Stone Ocean came out; they did a batch release of that. Somehow, out of nowhere, Netflix had a third secret option, whatever it is, nonsense is happening with the Steel Ball Run.
Third secret
But this is
option.
also
We're not going to tell you when it's coming out.
this, unfortunately, has just led people who are not involved in the decision to get like harassed about this. We had a couple of the VAs just saying that. I am not involved in the decision. You don't have to yell at me about this. I don't know. I just show up to voice act. So that's happened today.
I definitely saw some people joking that they're going to build a time machine and they're going to go back in time to make sure that David Prose, producer, does not go and start working for Netflix, because clearly that's where this all went wrong.
Yeah, that is clearly what's all is wrong. Something decided, I don't know what happened between Netflix and David Productions when this decided to do this, but yeah, since that decision, I think the convenience of I go back to the whole binge and then weekly showing like watching thing. Like, binging obviously can work, I think, for certain things.
Doubtful.
I guess like you work for it, look, it worked for Daredevil, it worked for like certain Marvel stuff, it worked for certain like obviously Stranger Things, but you see it working for like regular TV shows,
I
but
mean, for
for
Stranger Things, I
anime.
have seen people complaining about that, like as it went on over the years,
Right.
for many
Yeah,
things,
over.
including the whole binge drop thing.
Right, but I think when it started, like it worked, right?
When it started, I'm pretty sure it started in the pandemic, and we were a different people in the pandemic, Justin.
Feel like it was early in the pandemic, but I think
I
that's
had
what
an actual
before.
sleep schedule in the pandemic because I didn't have to commute.
But yeah, certain things work binging and some things work, and I think for anime, it just doesn't always really work.
No.
I'm trying to think of the one time, like the only one I really think worked, quote unquote, worked was Cnidaria, because I remember Ed was talking about how that just was selling like crazy back at San Diego Comic Con eons ago. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that would have been over 10 years ago.
That was
But
a long time ago.
yeah, you know how you were mentioning like how It's anime powered by Rimao is, putting anime up on YouTube. That's like basically the last place you can even have like a comment section for when things go up. And I was thinking about how all of this, kind of relates with, when you've got a batch release, that means that there's just going to be less discussion about online. And people say never read the comments, but the comments can be good and funny sometimes. Like, I was joking with a friend that now that Bato is gone, people have started migrating over to other sites, obviously. And there's some of them do not have comment sections, and some of them do. And I was sending it to a friend. I was like, the comment section, it's like, we've got the juice. We've got it. just people like that. People like being able to talk about what they're watching with other people, and the binge method really goes against that.
Yeah, and especially for JoJo's, it has definitely not worked out. Like I remember watching, I hate to say this, but I remember did watching most of part one of Stone Ocean, and I just never got around to finishing the rest of the series because I think they just dropped it, what, September, and then in the summer to finish it off, or it was either summer to finish it off and then the fall. I can't remember the entire release schedule, but the point is, it just wasn't convenient for me enough to watch it. And I just never got around to doing it. Hopefully soon I'll do that, and then eventually get into Steel Ball Run, hopefully. But as you can see, it just works for some people, it doesn't work for others, and it's not really. It's clear the numbers are just not the same. We know it's streaming weekly on Crunchyroll. It just was not the same. Like
Yeah,
the whole
there's
hype
definitely some
about
Netflix
JoJo's.
drops that I still haven't gotten to as well.
So.
Oh, and of course, the elephant in the room here is the horse in the room with this is also the part of JoJo's which involves animating a lot of horses, and that is something that strikes fear into the heart of apparently every animator in Japan. So it's like, did you guys just need more time to animate the horses? Like,
Yeah.
I grew up watching Disney films, as did I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast. I have seen people, be able to 2D animate horses for a long time. So I'm always like, what's the problem? Like, you give people enough time to learn how a horse works and you can do it, right? Is that the problem? If, are you just not giving your staff enough time to get used to drawing like 10 million horses? Like, do you guys not have horse girls in Japan? Do you not have just an entire like population of girls every generation who grew up drawing a lot of horses? Actually, now I am wondering if horse girl is a concept that exists in other cultures besides the US.
Umusume is right there, Helen.
That is a different kind of horse girl. Th this is th this is distinct from the kind of horse girl that I was growing up, which is that you ride like maybe once a year, but you have several encyclopedias on the horse in your bedroom that you reread on a regular basis and know the intricacies and details between English style and Western style saddles. Like, I know that I am not unique in that in the US, but I'm kind of wondering if the US might be unique in that in the rest of the world. I'm gonna have to look this up later.
Yes, you will do that. But yes, I think we've lamented about the weirdness and bizarreness of JoJo's long enough, and it's we really hope. Though, be serious. This is actually a big kind of for Netflix. They have to get it together. This is it's one thing. Funny enough, it's one thing to do all this, but they don't say anything. Like if they even just said something, that would be very helpful. Like some sort of schedule. We don't need rumored schedules. Just give us a plan. I feel like we get a plan, I'd be more accepting it, but they give no plans. We have to figure it out ourselves, and by the time we figure it out, then they want to say something. And I think as a multi-million dollar company,
Who
they
just got
explain this to
paid
fans.
for not buying another company and are like, oops, sorry guys, we need to raise subscription prices anyway.
Yay, Ray, yeah, more subscribers. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. They did do that this week.
After they got paid for not buying Paramount, like the company that bought Paramount paid them out for that. And let's, or it was Warner Brothers, or
Yes.
in that threesome, the two that got together paid Netflix.
So yes, it's apparently very hard for this company to just raise the subscription prices to just give a general release schedule for JoJo's.
I'm
Now,
sure if
I
you
will.
guys raised the subscription prices, you can hire at least one person to work communications.
Yeah, now the only other thing I'll just add, no, we don't need any threats to people who are not involved in this, and you don't need to. Unfortunately, there have been some violent reported threats,
Listen, folks, you
so
can
that's
kvetch with your friends
not
in the private group
yeah.
chats. You do not need to go about threatening other people. Like,
Yes,
you
don't need
can make
that.
complaints without threatening people. I know it's hard, but we can do it.
Yes, we don't. Yeah, like do I guess do that, but really, there are people who are just not involved in the decision. You can't be messing with them. They're not involved. You shouldn't be airing grievances with them, and they could be just as frustrated as you are, but they can't. They're it's not under control. Mm-hmm. So calm down. I can understand this whole Georgia situation is very, it's not good, but just calm down. So that was all itself. But then for the fans part, just make sure you calm down. But then for Netflix aside, just get it together really soon. Please do. Okay. Let's go through a couple. Oh, look at that. We got some normal news, normal streaming news to talk about for the rest of this section. So we got Animation TV, which is, again, back. We talked about last episode with Fullmetal Alchemist, I think the Brotherhood one. And they now had Demon Slayer Mugen Train, the movie, the anime. I take that back. This should be the anime. That's now on the service for free. So you need a subscription for the service. So
again, maybe they'll put Infinity Castle up there soon so you could watch that.
And like, look, it's going to take like 5-6 years. not 3 years at best. I'm pretty sure I've watched it by then. So I'm not worried about that. But it's, again, obviously a nice option. No, obviously, big deal to have it there. And as long as it's approved and everything, no, it's good for them. And then for those in Canada, the Crave streaming service, they announced this a couple weeks ago that they have added the following films. These were added on March 7th. So they've added Dragon Ball Super, Super Hero, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, Suzume, Spy Family, Code White, Duloc the Movie, Episode Nagi, Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, Legend of Crimson, the Quintessential Quintuplets Movie, That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, Scarlet Bond, Dragon Ball Super, Broly, One Piece Film Red, Goblin Slayer, Goblin's Crown, In This Corner of the World, Josie, the Tiger and the Fish, and Psychopaths, Providence.
Let's see. G-Kids has confirmed that it has released the Lupin the Third movie, Lupin the Third, the movie, The Immortal Bloodline, which is a new feature-length film. You can now rent it digitally or buy it digitally, and it's going to be shipping a Blu-ray version of it in conjunction with Shout Studios on July 21st. And Bandai Namco announced that it will screen the Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway, The Sorcery of the Nymph Circe, which is the second film of the Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway anime project, in U.S. theaters on May 15th. This one's been out for a while. Apparently there's some Guns N' Roses music tie-in theme, which has resulted in some very funny official art. But, yeah.
Well, it is that time, isn't it, Helen?
I thought we already started talking about the weird news, Justin.
I guess JoJo's does kind of weird, but no. This is really formally talking about the weird news of this past few weeks. And granted, we didn't actually get too much weird news, but we got some weird news. Starting with the fact that, once again, if you say never say, it's, again, we just got to remind it, never say never.
Who has been saying never say never since 2016? That is a phrase I no longer have in my vocabulary.
If a series ended or was on hiatus or whatever, though, it's never over. It's just not. It's not over till,
unless it's Clamp. The fat lady, then yeah, you're screwed.
To the fat lady sings or whatever, or as Helen mentioned, if Clamp says so, if it's a Clamp series. But you never know. What was it? X-1999?
Yeah, X-1999. That been on hiatus since 2000.
Who knows? It may come back. An anime come back at this rate. I don't know.
It's already had an anime.
The Twitter account for Tokuba Shoten's Comic Ryu platform announced on this past Saturday, that Megumu Okada's Shadow Skill series will receive a new manga titled Shadow Skill Dawn, beginning April 24th. The Shadow Skill manga ended 12 years ago, but for whatever reason, it's coming back. I think we talked last episode about a couple of series just ending, and then it came back after 20 years and whatever years, 10 years. We have another one, Helen. We just got to do a list. When I do Weirdos of 2026, I just got to do a list of works that came back after 10 plus years at this rate.
We need a phrase for this at some point. Not like super seniors, but like something similar to that at this point. So Justin and I had been talking before about Red River unexpectedly getting an anime like a dozen years after that ended. And Justin said, I forget if he said it on the podcast or just when we were chatting off podcast.
It was on the podcast.
Okay, on the podcast. And you had also heard rumors of From Far Away getting an anime, which was another shoujo isekai manga from the 90s. And guess what, guys? That one's also getting an anime this year. I'm having to look it up. When did this one run? This one ran in Hakusensha's La La magazine from 1991 to 2002, which means it is, in fact, even older than Red River. It's also better than Red River, in my opinion. Red River is just... it's not quite a bodice-ripper romance, but it's a lot of a romance. But From Far Away is more in the adventure kind of, oh god, I just got isekai'd into another world. Also, I'm pretty sure the main character gets isekai'd there, not from being run over by a truck, but I think she's killed by, like, a random bomb on the street, and that's how she gets sent over?
I'm sorry, what? Hold on,
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's how it started.
We've been doing it wrong all this time. We've had trucks, people. We had trucks running over people. We have bombs killing people. What is this? Like what? Like
oh yeah, I found it. This has the manga preview online, so I found it.
No way. No,
I'm sending it to you.
No, it didn't happen. No way. Absolutely not. No way. Wait, no. No, absolutely not. Why is this paper bag here? Are you serious? Are you serious?
It was 1991, Justin. It was a different time.
Clearly a different time. Like, just random box, random bag. And it has a bomb in it. That makes perfect sense. And you just send me more stuff? What is this? I only got one context here.
I think it will probably amuse you even more to know that in some Yuri isekai, it's not truck-kun, but bicycle-kun that does people in. I think I could take on bicycle-kun. I could not take on truck-kun, but I think I could take on bicycle-kun.
Oh, boy. But yes, Helen, once again, we're just bringing back... We're going through the catalog of what do we have... What was a nicely popular or known series in the 90s or 80s that we could just bring back in the 2026 time?
I mean, in the early 2000s as well, because, you know, I just saw, like, some updates for Siren. So, you know, anime companies in Japan, I have a list here of older manga titles. I haven't gotten an anime for your consideration, and I have a second list right here in case you throw that first list in the trash.
So, yeah, I do hope this turns out really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the one big fear for all of these. It's like, oh god, what if it's just terrible?
Yeah. What if it's like Hanakimi? Which was fine, but I mean...
I don't know. I saw people talking about that saying, no, it was not, in fact, fine. People who enjoyed the manga.
Look. Fine in the sense that it was functional and watchable. Not like
people were saying it was not even watchable, but also that Hanakimi is a concept that has not aged well.
Yeah, that's the thing. It has
well, which is a different issue.
Right, mm-hmm. But yes, we're just hoping for the best, that the far away gets a nice staff, it's going to be treated properly, and we don't have no JoJo issues.
You hear that, universe? No JoJo issues. No JoJo business here. No bizarre funny business over here.
So we had this actually teased a couple months ago for Fatal Fury, but they finally put out a formal trailer, I think because of tying with the Anime Japan, which happened over this past weekend. So we have Kenshiro is going to join the lineup for the Fatal Fury Saving the World video game. Now you bet you're saying, well, interesting, but what makes it notable and weird? Well, funny enough, I was thinking about what anime character has actually been put in a fighting game. Like a general like fighting game. I was thinking about this like, I know he's not the first, but it doesn't happen all that often. So, that's definitely why this is here. I had no choice but to put this here. So very curious how it's going to play out. I'm actually curious like how this deal even worked out. Maybe we'll eventually get word about how this happened. But we just have Fatal Fury you're already dead. We're going to have that collaboration somehow happening in June. Going to be great. And then in final bit of weird news.
Yeah, you're gonna have to explain this one since I don't know One Piece.
Surprisingly cool. I mean, I don't know One Piece either. I only have the 200 chapters that I read like high school. College.
That is still 999 more than I ever have.
That was
I
a long time ago, but yes.
It might be 200 more than I ever have.
And also, I did watch some of the four kids. Well, actually, I don't know how long I watched it. I probably watched a few episodes of it, of One Piece Four Kids. But it was a long time ago. But I don't. But the point is, I have more experience of One Piece than Helen does. So, yes. for context, Erica Stroda, she was the original voice of the One Piece voice of Luffy for Four Kids way back when. She's going to voice Joy Boy in the Crunchyroll English dub, which is episodes 1,144 and 1,155.
So is this still season one of One Piece, or is this going to be season two of One Piece?
Gotta let me... it took me a second to understand where you're going with that. Until it was, oh, I get what she's saying. season two. No, actually, this is probably still... Well, actually, I don't know how caught up they are now that I think about it. Maybe it's still season one. Maybe. I had no clue. I'm not that caught up, okay? Anyways, now we have Ura Takano, who was the original Japanese voice of Luffy in the One Piece Defeat the Pirate Ganzak Jump Super Anime Tour, the 1998 special, prior to Mayumi Tanaka voicing Luffy in the main One Piece anime in 1999. She voiced Joy Boy in this particular section in Japanese. So the context is Joy Boy, this is obviously spoilers. If you don't care about One Piece spoilers, you can keep listening on. Is a character who not only looks like Luffy, but also ate the same devil fruit as him centuries ago. So in other words, Crusher went through all the effort, or especially Toei, I think, went through all the effort to go back to kind of mimic the Japanese side, where they said, okay, let's get the original voice of Luffy to voice Joy Boy. And that's actually kind of neat.
Yeah, that's fun little casting gag right there on both sides.
Like, they didn't have to do all that effort, and especially since it was so long ago, but they went through all the effort to say, hey, Erica, we have this kind of context with Joy Boy. You want to come back and voice Luffy?
And okay, can you remember the voice you did, or can you get close to it?
Right? You're right. Like, can she remember all that? But she agreed to it, and that's pretty neat. And funny, I was reading speculation about this. Some predicted that. They were like, they kind of had a prediction about this being a possibility, and it turned out to be they knew what they were doing. They knew exactly what was coming, and it happened. So that's good on the fans for predicting that.
See, only the fans could predict when JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Steel Ball Run Part 2 is going to come out, because that might be more accurate than anything else we've got at this point.
I am not a fan. I am predicting it's coming back in summer. Bam.
Okay. Boom.
Then it comes out in 2027. What?
Well, they said 2026 on the teaser, so...
Anime industry is too crazy right now. Who knows?
But until next time, then, when we're going to be back and we're going to be talking about our winter anime, Justin, where can we find the OASG, the podcast, the website, the feeds? Where can people find all of that online?
Oh, you can find theosg.com just as a site, website, see the recent features. You can check out the OASG. Excuse me. You can check out the many social media accounts of the OESG. So Blue Sky, Mastodon, and still on Twitter. And obviously get any pre-order stuff, information, and maybe some anime press release news. Depends, really.
As long as we're not getting struck down for being too lewd on Blue Sky.
Blue Sky. And you can find the OESG podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you can also sorry, email. You can still find me on Helen's not favorite site anymore, Twitter. Still, again, retweeting Fire Emblem 3 Houses of stuff. I'm not
Have sure there been any updates recently on Fortune's Weave? Like, no, release dates or anything?
Zero. We have rumors. I am not leading credits to any of the rumors.
Aww.
Until, like, I'm just not doing it because who knows when Nintendo's going to announce it. So, not getting
Nintendo!
Until then, I'm just going to... Oh, right. I just see this random commentary about, like, how video game prices and PS... Five going from really expensive to even more expensive. That's all on Twitter.
I saw like discussion like the PlayStation 6 might cost $1,000 or something, and it's like my fucking laptop didn't cost that much, and I buy Macs. But if people want to see or at least hear me online, You know, reading is a kind of hearing. You can follow me on Blue Sky at Wandering Dreamer. And the other podcast I co-host is called Manga in Your Ears. You can find us on, I think, just about any other podcasting service under that title. On Blue Sky, we're under the collective handle of Taiku Podcasts. That is T-A-I-I-K-U Podcasts. And that's also the name of the website. I will say that April 1st is coming up soon, so we will soon have another installment of Light Novels in Your Ears. Which reminds me, I've got to go reread that title. I've been forgetting about it because I've been distracted by other books. Not anime books, but other books. Until next time then, folks. See ya!
Bye!